Hello, and welcome to our podcast for the Comprehensive Opioid Stimulant and Substance Abuse Program, known as COSAP. It's an initiative of the Bureau of Justice Assistance. I'm your host, Paige Pressler-Jurr, with the RTI COSAP Training and Technical Assistance Team. We are here to celebrate National Recovery Month. This podcast series is highlighting individuals across the criminal legal system to focus on what National Recovery Month means to their work and how they strive to support people in recovery. These conversations join together voices of individuals and community members across the nation who make recovery in all its forms possible. Today, we have two guests from Project Navigation, Outreach, Recovery, Treatment, and Hope, otherwise known as Project North. First is Judy Bazinet, the Project North Program Manager, and we are also joined by Andrea Fryer, the Recovery Support Navigator for Project North located in Springfield, Massachusetts. Welcome, Judy and Andrea.
Thanks, Paige.
So can you all tell us a little bit more about how you got to these roles and how you've gotten to be where you're supporting people that are in recovery?
Hi, everyone. My name is Judy Bazinet. I'm the program manager for Project North. A little bit about myself is I was a drug clinician for 6 or 7 years at Brockton, Barnstable, and Hingham Drug Court, LICSW. Prior to that, I worked at Suffolk County House of Correction as a licensed mental health clinician for several years, and I did a brief period as the director of a detox and crisis stabilization unit for Spectrum Health in Weymouth, Mass.
Hi, everyone. My name is Andrea Fryer, and I'm a recovery support navigator, and I work for Springfield District Court, and I'm contracted through clinical and support options. My background is I have a bachelor's in human services. I've been in the field for 20 years now. My job previously was working in a residential program, and I supervised 2 residential group homes for adolescent age and also teenagers. And I did that for a few years, and I'm back at clinical and support options and this new role as a recovery support navigator. So thank you for having me here today.
All right, let's hear more about Project Navigation, Outreach, Recovery, Treatment, and Hope, and your roles in the program. Judy, we'd love to hear from you first.
So first off, I want to stress it's a voluntary program. It's not court ordered. It's people who are looking to treat their substance use disorder, and the target population are any court-involved individuals, court users, we call them. And it's unique in that sometimes the criminal court, the district court, has services available, but Project North is available to district court, family court, juvenile court, superior court, as well as housing court. So that's like unique to some of these departments because they've not had access to these type of services. And our goals are to increase treatment engagement and retention, decrease risk of justice system involvement, and decrease risk of overdoses. And how we plan to do that is to increase access to evidence-based care, increase access to care coordination, decrease barriers to treatment retention, increase recovery resources and capital, and increase access to overdose prevention, education, and naloxone. And how we do that is to have the navigator placed right in the court. Sometimes somebody can be in court. Court is like a crisis situation, right? And they are interested in addressing their substance use, and they walk out the door and something changes. So if we can help connect them before they walk out the door and make that warm handoff, part of our program is that we provide transportation to the initial treatment. So whether it's to a detox inpatient, it's to case management. And the navigator it's a contracted position. So they're employed by a licensed treatment provider. That's been key in this too, because sometimes an individual who's struggling with substance use might be a little mistrusting of the court system because of their previous interactions. But the navigator is not part of the court system. So there's HIPAA, they have to have releases of information, and again, it's voluntary. So the last component I'll talk about before I hand it over to Andrea is that there's a housing component. Homelessness is really huge right now. A lot of people who are struggling with substance use don't have a safe place. It's really hard to get clean and sober or find any type of recovery if you don't have a safe place to stay. So Project North has funds for sober living for up to 6 months in a certified sober home that's contracted with MASH, which is our Mass Alliance for Sober Housing. So we can refer somebody to one of those houses if they meet the criteria. As far as my role, so there's 14 court locations in Massachusetts that have navigations in their court. That was determined on data around overdoses, cases, criminal cases related to substance use disorder, and locations that have a higher rate of poverty compared to the rest of Massachusetts. So we are starting there, and hopefully the navigations role, which is a bachelor level paraprofessional, work with MassHealth, our Medicaid program, in order to come up with the specifications for navigation. So hopefully once the grant is over, we'll be able to show that this is a sustainable, successful program to help treat substance use and individuals involved in the criminal justice system.
That's great. And Andrea, can you tell us more about what it means to be a recovery support navigator and about what Project North is doing in Springfield?
For me, what it means to be a recovery support navigator is to provide the same day access to care, right? A lot of times, you know, there's a wait when you're calling on the phone. And so for me to be able to do the coordination for the client that is struggling, and I'll be honest, sometimes there's tough intakes where, you know, you have clients that are affected by maybe their parents are going through recovery or they're actively using. And so they're more emotional and they're not able to make those phone calls. They're not able to ask the questions that they really want to ask or receive the information that they really need because they're so upset, right? Or they're so depressed or they're going through a crisis situation. And so for me to be able to be that additional resource for an individual that's struggling is so important, whether it's connecting them to psychiatric treatment, whether it's putting in a referral for therapy or providing additional resources for them as far as like a recovery support sponsor or a recovery coach. And so as far as Project North in Springfield provides the same day access, which I absolutely love because not a lot of people can just walk in without an appointment. And I will never turn anyone down, even if they don't necessarily qualify or, you know, fit our criteria for sober living funding, for example, I would still provide information and I would still allow them to, you know, reach back out to me if they have any questions or needs, which I think is really important. Just being able to walk in for intakes, having a clear knowledge about the resources and agencies that's in our community so I can do coordination with them as well so I can be able to put in additional referrals for care. And I'm also from Springfield, Massachusetts, so I am knowledgeable about a lot of the different agencies just because networking. And when I was in college, you know, I met a lot of people that, you know, have been successful and they're in the human service field as well.
I'd love to hear more about the impact that you both have seen from Project North on both the individual and broader community levels. Andrea, do you have any specific examples that you'd like to share that will highlight the importance of recovery navigation within the court system?
Yeah, so some of the impacts that I've seen and are have a strong effect or influence depends on case by case. Everybody's case is different. And so really in Springfield, Massachusetts, I've seen a big impact on the homeless population. So being able to make that connection, whether it's getting a client in shelter just so they're not homeless on the streets and then connecting them to case management and, you know, getting them a med provider or seeing a doctor, you know, those are your basic needs. You know, you need to have that met. So that's something that I'm seeing a lot of in like just not having clothing and hygiene products and things like that. Those are things that I'm able to actually provide. That's something that everyone should be able to have access to soap and to food and to, you know, heat and hot water. And so if I can connect with other agencies to provide a bed, even if it's just for that night, that's something that we're able to do as well. And also lack of family support or people have given up on them. And so just connecting them to care, like as far as, okay, why don't we think about getting a therapist or, you know, getting someone that can work with you on your needs and your goals, like a CSP worker. And they will do that for like up to 3 months, which is really nice, and provide transportation to and from appointments and work on budgeting and finances and work with what you do have. Maybe it's not what you want or it's not where you need to be in that moment, but let's work with what you do have. So just kind of sitting down with them and building them up and empowering them to understand that this is not it for you. This is not the end. Yeah. And also I would just say lack of education and race and gender affects this population that we're serving. And the media, social media also plays a role, especially in our youth community.
And Judy, let's hear about Project North as a whole.
This has been so exciting for me, and it's so interesting because we have 14 different locations and they're so different from each other. Like Andrea's is one of our busy, it's urban, it's a city, there's a lot happening. And then we have Pittsfield, which is more remote, so their challenges are different. And so we have to be flexible and able to address each one. You know, and that's what the great part of Project North is that it's not a one size fits all, just like recovery is not a one size fits all. Navigation has to be able to think outside the box. We have a whole team behind us. Marissa Hebel is the co-director for navigation. Deputy Commissioner Mike Coelho is the co-director under the housing and transportation piece. And then Beth Duffy is our grant coordinator and Tess Jurgensen. And so I'm telling you all about these people because there's so many people behind the scenes who we couldn't do what we do without them, right? The navigators, when they first come on board, they hit the pavement running and they get out there, they introduce themselves to everyone, all the community providers. Their position is by a vendor, so they already have those resources. Andrea's through clinical support options, and she gets unbelievable amount of services that she can connect people to right away. But it's not limited to her provider. She goes wherever the need is. If she can get some services someplace else quicker, then that's what we do. It's patient driven. And then we constantly are updating the resources so you're not spending time finding out that they're not available. That has been a huge plus for us. You don't have to need a lot of services. You can just be looking for 12-step meetings where you can get hooked up for MAT very quickly, connected to SNAP benefits. Like, we're just the best resource for the court and for individuals. If you need to find resources, you can go online to mass.gov and put in Project North, and it lists all of our resources and tells everything about our program.
Judy, can you share with us the importance of partnerships for the success of Project North?
Partnerships are everything in making this program successful. We're not an island. We don't do this alone, and we couldn't. I think it takes a whole community of resources to address this problem. So part of why I was chosen for my position is because I've worked as a contractor in the court, so I know how to do that. And, you know, you have to know the ins and outs of how the court works as well as a treatment provider. It's a fine line. And I've been able to help my navigators do that. When we first started, we did a lot of meetings with the judges, the regional area judges, the local judges, the probation staff, and all the people involved in the court system to let them know what Project North was and that we were available. In addition, we have to meet with all the community resource members, all the different treatment providers, all the coalitions. My navigators have been incredible in using that platform. A lot of them belong to their hub, they call it, in Massachusetts, where the police and all the local community providers come together and try to problem solve and come up with some unique solutions to some of the issues going on in the community. So it really is a community. It's a village. We're open to anyone who has services that can help our individuals. We work with the SOBA houses. We work with MASH, which is the MASH Alliance for SOBA Housing, certifies SOBA houses to make sure it's a safe place that we're referring our clients to. BSAS, which is the Bureau of Substance Abuse Services, has been a really great partner for us. All the clinicians, the Department of Mental Health clinicians, we have some located in the courts of Massachusetts, and if we can be of support or assistance to them and vice versa. So it's been a real collaboration with so many different organizations.
And Andrea, you mentioned how you're from Springfield and you've done all this networking. Can you tell us recommendations that you have that could actually build partnerships in a local community to provide recovery services support?
So what I did was I worked on doing coordination for quite some time while we were building this project, or while we were in the process of getting it rolled out, and before I actually had clients. So I would go out to different agencies and really promote Project North and let them know all about our resources that we have. I would hand out our briefs, and I will also, you know, get information about their organization for coordination purposes as well. I actually reached out to someone that's involved with the mayor, and so he's very connected in the community, so he was able to put the word out as well. I have quite a few friends that are social workers. And so I was able to reach out to my friends, let them know about Project North. And actually, we're on a road here where I'm at. And there's a lot of other agencies on this road, and I utilize them as well. So we're in contact often. And like that, you know, Judy was saying that I will reach out to other agencies, not just, you know, who I'm contracted through, because if there's a wait somewhere and if I can get an individual in another at another agency, I will. Maybe that has less wait time. If I was offered to go have coffee and tea, you know, with a coordinator, just to discuss Project North just a little bit more, I would actually go. I would go and I would follow through. So networking for me is really important. And I keep that flow going. I keep that flow going, even with recovery, with the sponsors and with recovery coaches. I keep that relationship there to make sure that like anyone that's in need, and if, even if you have questions, you're more than welcome to reach out to me as well.
I just want to note something that I was really impressed with that you did was when you had the young juvenile with his mom and you referred him to a resource and he was really anxious and hesitant about going. And so you offered to go to the organization and meet them there and make the introduction. So that kind of thing can just make all the difference in the world to help the person feel more comfortable and open to the services that are being offered. I just can't praise you enough for that. I thought it was wonderful.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Those were really great suggestions and showing that impact of how being there and continuing to put forth that effort to build all those connections, what it can mean to the people that you're serving. So in thinking of everything that we've talked about today, can you both tell us what National Recovery Month means to you?
It's celebrating our successes. So in substance use disorder, and I've been doing this for quite a while, and I know a lot of people, both professionally and personally, who struggle with substance use disorder, there are a lot of people who fall, and just our overdose rate shows you how many people don't make it. So it's really easy to focus on that. And that's why I think it's so important that we celebrate the people who are living day to day. And like, it's amazing when you see some of the people who were just a shell of the people they are, become who they are, become mothers and fathers and work this job and give back. It's powerful. It's inspirational. Like, it's possible. I think it's the hope that people really do recover.
So I would just like to point out that recovery is a journey. Systems and agencies, the law, we must all continue to work hard and diligently at being empathetic and knowledgeable about the clientele that we're serving and not giving up. And when you're tired, it's okay to have self-care and take care of your own needs, because it's a tough population to work with, but it's also very rewarding to see the success at the end, you know, of someone's recovery, if there's an end to recovery, because I believe someone's in recovery forever when you're in recovery. So it's your journey. It's your path, you know? And so I'm very sincere about my job. I'm very serious about my role. I'm passionate about what I do. And so I just hope that with Project North, we can just put it out there that we are a support system here, and that anyone that is in need of assistance and being connected to sober living, just someone that's going to hear you out in the moment of a moment of a crisis or a moment of just not understanding the court system, just needing to be connected to care, you know, we're here for you. So thank you.
So Andrea and Judy, tell me what is next for you both and for Project North.
For me, next is just continuing to do what we do every single day, is to, you know, accept referrals, accept walk-ins. For me, I want to grow in the field. So I personally have my own goals within this role. So, you know, for me, I would like to become licensed and open up my own practice to work with individuals with mental health and substance abuse issues. And also, I want to say to everyone that we are a trauma-informed care approach agency. We're very empathetic and we care about the work that we do. You know, I serve juveniles, you know, the youth population. And with that being said, it's not always easy for someone that's underage to go in front of a judge or to be involved in the court system, right? So for me, connecting them to someone that's going to understand and kind of be at their level is important. That way they can receive the treatment that they need, because often they're very scared. Often they don't know what's going to happen next. And I think it's important for them to feel heard and also be safe, because it's our responsibility to make sure that the youth population is safe And so with that being said, you know, I utilize the Impact Center a lot. We have ROCA here in Springfield, Massachusetts that we can utilize for the youth population. And it has been very successful, you know, and that's also a drop-in center. So you can go in. It is a voluntary program. And those are services that I've utilized for our youth population as well.
So what's next for Project North on my end is we continue to roll out navigators in the determined locations to hopefully show that this program is sustainable and is a benefit to all of us as a community, and that we're making a difference in helping people in their struggle with substance use disorder, however that may be. The key for Project North is that it's client driven, and so it's through self-determination. We help the clients explore what their options are, and then we support them in their options, whatever it may be. And that's how we connect them to care. A big part of our program is naloxone access. You know, we want to keep our clients alive so that they can have the opportunity to address their issues as they go. And that's been really key. We work with a couple of different providers. We have one provider in the local area where I'm from, who if the navigator at the courthouse calls them, they will drive there and give them Narcan. You know, we take this serious. We connect with all different providers. We do detoxes and CSS programs. We have halfway houses residential treatment. We have medically assisted treatment. We have harm reduction homes. Whatever the client is open to, that's what we support. We are doing trainings on motivational interviewing. I think that's really key. You know, recovery is not a one-stop shopping as it used to be. You know, it's taken many different terms, and we have to be willing to support what the client is willing to do and help them grow in their recovery. We are doing a lot of trainings on trauma-informed care. I, as a clinician, believe trauma pretty much drives the bus. Everyone has their own story, and so we need to be respectful to what they're going through. My goal and hope is that we will see navigators in every court in Massachusetts.
We're running near the end of our time together. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I say this a lot when I speak because I've worked with a lot of different individuals struggling with substance use disorder and families that are torn apart because of their loved one's struggle. So, you know what? Addiction tears families apart, but recovery brings them together. So that's the hope. You know, life events happen and that's brought them there. So if we can put the right supports and treatment in place to help them overcome some of these barriers, like, I just feel really privileged and honored to be a part of that.
And Andrea, we'd love to hear from you.
I would just like to thank you all for taking the time to, you know, listen and hear about Project North and, you know, recovery support navigation and, you know, what we're all about. I want to thank you for having me on this very special National Recovery Month.
And I'd like to thank our guests for being with me today to discuss Project North and all of the ways that client-driven recovery support services are a critical part of helping people in their recovery journey, strengthening families and whole communities. Thank you, Judy and Andrea.
Thanks, Paige.
Thank you, Paige.
I'm Paige Pressler-Jurr, and I invite all of our listeners to check out www.cosapresources.org for additional resources and guidance for your community's overall strategy to support individuals in recovery and those that want to address their substance use.